Thanks, Nathan. Appreciate it. Good morning, everybody, on 881. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. So, Nathan, did you watch the game last night?
No.
You did not. Do you own a television, Nathan?
Yes, I do, but I have other things that I'd rather watch.
There you go. All right. Well, I'll have you give our listeners an update on that, because, you know, we do know you've been reporting who won the game, and we appreciate that, you know, on behalf of a grateful nation. We are going to talk about something very serious this morning. If you're at one of those Super Bowl parties and ate too much, think about this sobering fact. Here in Baltimore, we're a city of about 620,000 people, but one of every four of us lives in a food desert. That's shorthand for a low-income neighborhood, almost 30 of them across our city, where grocery stores are scarce, where transportation options are limited, and many people can't afford a car to get them to stores with fresh, wholesome food. And the racial disparities are glaring. 34% of the city's African-American residents live in food desert neighborhoods, compared to only 8% of white residents. So last week, I talked about food deserts with the Reverend Dr. Heber Brown. He's the pastor of Pleasant Hope Baptist Church in North Baltimore. He described his efforts to organize the Black Church Food Security Network to sell food grown by local black farmers directly to city residents by way of a church-sponsored market or food stalls at church locations. Several other grassroots and religious organizations are engaged in similar efforts. Well, this week, we want to explore what the city government is doing to address inequities in food access. Holly Freistadt is the city's food czar. She's the director of the Baltimore Food Policy Initiative. Robert Thomas is the executive director of the Lexington Market. Since December of 2014, he's been the head of the Baltimore Public Markets Corporation. That's the city agency that runs all of the historic food markets around the city. And they both join me in the studio. Good morning. Good to see you.
Good morning.
So, Holly, give us an update on the status of tax incentives for supermarkets. This is a relatively new proposal that the mayor introduced, I don't know, 4 or 6 weeks ago, something like that. The idea is to, you know, give incentives to supermarkets to locate in Baltimore. Where does that stand?
Sure. So the good news is that it was enacted on January 31st, so it's gone into effect. And this is a part of a big strategy of the city, the food desert retail strategy. And one of them is to attract and retain grocery stores. And we know that policy is necessary to do so. So this personal property tax credit is for bringing new stores into the city, but also for expansion or renovations of existing stores. So we want to keep the stores we have in the city. We want them to renovate, improve their healthy food availability, and also to bring new stores in.
So one of the things it does is it takes away or attenuates in some way the tax on, like, the freezers they have in the stores and the equipment they have. How does that work, and why is it being approached that way rather than straight property tax relief?
So several years ago, we asked all the retailers what would be the big wins for them to help them have stores in the city. And they all said personal property tax. So for grocery stores, personal property is a huge expense for them. It's everything you can shake out of the store, which is a lot. And for most of the city, there's already many incentives in place through the Baltimore Development Corporation for real property. So it's personal property that they were really missing any of the tax incentives.
So, Robert Thomas, you head up the Lexington Market as well as the consortium of folks who run all of the markets. There's also a proposal, a report just issued recently, calls for about a $27 million renovation of Lexington Market. What chances do you give that idea?
Well, better than 50%, let's say. Mm-hmm. But at this point, the idea is that we actually have to do it. And we have to do that for, we have to redevelop each of the public markets because each of them has to respond more effectively to the neighborhoods wherein we find ourselves. Lexington happens to be a crossroads, and so it's a mixture of neighborhoods, but we have to prepare ourselves going into this part of the 21st century to meet a more diverse population and meet the food needs at the same time, the whole socioeconomic scale. That's available in Baltimore. We need to provide that.
The mayor is suggesting this is a good idea to take the report recommendations and spend $27 million. Excuse me, but she's not saying where the $27 million come from.
Right.
So where do they come from?
The capital stack is going to be public money as well as foundational money from philanthropy and private corporations as well as a capital campaign. So we're still in the money hunt. But we have to assemble all of those pieces to make this work.
This is part Holly Freistadt. This the business of the markets and the business of attracting supermarkets is all part of a a comprehensive strategy. One of the key one of the dimensions of that strategy is transportation. Transportation is a real issue. Food deserts are defined as being more than a quarter of a mile away from a grocery store. If you bought groceries, you've got two bags full to walk, and you've got to walk more than a quarter of a mile. That's a trek, and that's tough to do. Of course, you know, we've got the red line controversy. The governor has, put the kibosh on that. How does your office and how does the mayor approach the issue of transportation and simply getting people to be at the Lexington Market or a ShopRite, in their neighborhood?
So in your definition of food desert, you're absolutely right. Quarter mile is one part. Another part of the definition is low vehicle availability. So we've always known that transportation is a significant issue. And in our food desert retail strategy, one of the strategies is to develop out a food access transportation strategy. And so Baltimore Link is the first part of that. We have the Food Policy Advisory Committee. It's 50 organizations plus. We have been meeting every 6 weeks to analyze Baltimore Link. We've been working with the state and making sure that we look at how does Baltimore Link affect those who are using the bus system, which we know many are, to get to supermarkets for shopping, but also for jobs. They need to get to work, and we need to make sure that the transportation strategies allow for people to get to work and to be able to buy their food. And so we've been working on this pretty consistently now.
On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. That's Holly Freistadt. She's the city's food czar. She directs the Baltimore Food Policy Initiative. Robert Thomas is the executive director of the Lexington Market and the consortium of folks who run all of the Baltimore public markets. You're laughing, Holly, when I mention you as the food czar, but that is what you're concentrating on, right?
So I've been trying to shake that name for 6 years, and I can't, so I embrace it. And so the reason I'm the food policy director, I do a lot of policy strategic planning, building of networks and consortiums, and working with many partners. Food czar implies that I'm telling people what to eat, which I'm not. But we want to make sure that people get access to healthy, affordable food.
But in a way, Holly is telling us where to eat, saying, we've got to get grocery stores in neighborhoods that don't have them, and we've got to make the markets more accessible. One of the big problems with Lexington Market and all of the public markets is there's a perception that they're not safe. I mean, there have been, more than 250 arrests last year near Lexington Market, many of them related to drugs. I mean, people are just reluctant to go there because they think they're walking into trouble. How are you addressing that, and how can you and the vendors at Lexington Market address that?
Once people get inside each of the markets, there really is a low-risk sense of things, and it's a low-risk reality. The perception, of course, that we've dealt with is that you can't get there from here, or at least you can't get there safely. That's why we have started collaborations with BPD. Well, we've begun that a long time ago, but other stakeholders as well. So just get the area around the markets, plural, conducive to business.
What about even before any renovation would happen? Because sure, obviously $26, $27 million is going to take a long time to figure out where that's going to come from. So in the shorter term, right now, more than half of the vendors at Lexington Market are selling what most folks would identify as unhealthy food. I mean, these are prepared food things. They're not fresh produce stands. They're not fresh meat and fresh fish. Is there a way to tip the balance of the quality of food, the healthfulness of the food that's available in these markets in the short term before any renovations are done?
We believe so, and we believe that that's necessary so that, in fact, if the structure is a structure, but getting the interior experience to be both beneficial to the community as well as effective for us is something that we have to do with the balance of shifting the composition of markets and the composition of food offerings as well as the tenant mix. So that means some get retained, some get relocated.
What's a normal lease for a vendor at the Lexington Market?
At this point, given the plans that are in afoot a year, is typical.
So you would have some flexibility to not renew the lease of a vendor whose products you thought maybe weren't in the best interest of the market.
That's
overall
correct. Or if we had a tremendous replication elsewhere throughout the market.
Mm-hmm. And Holly Freistadt, another aspect of what you all are working on is the SNAP benefits. This is just a sort of bureaucratic solution because the benefits are only in effect, as I understand them, and this is subsidized benefits for people of low income. they're only in effect like the first few days of the month or something? Explain how that works.
Let me explain. So SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, otherwise known as food stamps, it's a federally funded, and then it comes through to the residents in Baltimore and all over the country. So there's two things I wanted to mention. One is SNAP disbursement. It used to be, so say in August or last year, all the disbursement would come in a 10-day period. So everyone would get their SNAP benefits. But most of the time, everyone would spend it pretty fast. And so within 14 days, everyone was in and out of the grocery store. And then the grocery stores were really slow for the rest of the month. Very hard for operations, very hard for employment. Lots of people in the beginning of the month, very slow at the end of the month. We really want to attract and retain grocery stores. So by changing it over to 20 days, we can have the stores have people in it more often.
Mm-hmm. And Robert Thomas, there's a idea called virtual markets, people shopping online. If there's a scarcity of grocery stores, isn't there also a scarcity of broadband access? How does that work where people go on their computers? Or is that something that Holly really knows more about?
So the health department has the Baltimore Market program, and the virtual supermarket has expanded to 6 sites in senior disabled housing. They partner with ShopRite. They have 21 neighborhood food advocates who live in those senior housing, and they buy online, and once a week, they pick up their orders, and they can use their SNAP benefits at the time of pickup.
Yeah, and so they can get them close to where they live. Yeah.
So they're only in food deserts.
Yeah. All right, well, that's all the time we have. I appreciate you guys coming by. We're going to stick with this and talk to you again about the progress you guys are making. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Holly Freistadt's the director of Baltimore's Food Policy Initiative. Robert Thomas is the executive director of the Baltimore Public Markets Corporation, runs the city's 6 historic food markets. On 88.1, I'm Tom Hall. Coming up, a look behind the scenes at this Thursday's Democratic presidential debate. Stay with us.